Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, dear saints of God. Good morning and welcome to another broadcast of Manna from Heaven, a ministry of the Grace Christian Church in St. Johnsville, New York. I want to welcome all of my precious brothers and sisters in Christ to the Bible study today. And we had a glorious, wonderful prayer meeting last night, the first prayer meeting of 2022, and what a wonderful prayer meeting it was. Let me encourage you to open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalms 102. We want to look at verse 13 and 14, and we're looking at it in the King James Version of the Bible. It reads like this: Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time, is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. Today we're going to be focusing on the phrase, and have mercy on Zion. And have mercy on Zion. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and we praise your name and we glorify you for this beautiful day, for another day of life, for another day of being above ground, another day in which we can know you and walk with you and praise you. Now, Lord, we pray, bless our study today as we, your children, sit around your table to be fed of this manna from heaven. This we ask, this we pray, in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. On Monday, we talked about authorship. On Tuesday, we talked about God's need to arise. The psalmist said, the psalmist was very concerned with the condition of himself and the condition of the church, and he said in a statement, thou shalt arise. We looked at that yesterday, and we know that God's arising is necessary. It's necessary because if he doesn't arise, we're doomed. We know that God's arising is desired because all of those who love the Lord desire the Lord and want the Lord in our midst. And if he's not in our midst, we feel empty. There's a hole in our hearts. If the desire of our heart is not there, who is none other than God himself? So God's arising is necessary, for if not, the church will wane and die. It is desired because we love the Lord. We're in love with him, and we desire him to be in our midst all the time. Not only is it desired, but we request it. We bend our knees in prayer to seek the Lord, to beseech him to come among us. And then once it is requested, it is much anticipated. We can't wait for God to show up. This is why every Sunday across this land, across this country, and around the world, people pray the prayer of invocation. The prayer of invocation is the prayer of invitation. We are inviting God. We are requesting God to show up. And after we say the prayer of invocation, we anticipate that he will. That's what we covered yesterday, Tuesday. So let me encourage you to turn to page number 3 in your outlines. The date on top is Wednesday, January 5th. And we're looking at God's first gift to his church. God's first gift to his church according to the text. And that gift is what? Divine mercy. Divine mercy. Now, you know, in church, there are people who will pity you. And there are people who will show mercy towards you. But that's brotherly mercy. That's brotherly pity. There's a mercy and there's a pity that is way above that. And not that we don't appreciate brotherly mercy and human mercy and brotherly pity and human pity. Of course, we embrace it. We receive it. We appreciate it. But above the mercy and the love and the pity that our brothers and sisters in Christ can show us, there is a mercy high above that, and that's called divine mercy. Here the psalmist anticipates that God will have mercy upon Zion. We're praying, saints, listen, this text, Psalm 102, 13 and 14, is about revival. We're praying for revival, like the psalmist. We're believing God for a move of the Spirit. A move of the Spirit, as we were discussing yesterday in the prayer meeting, a move of the Spirit that will revitalize not only our church, Grace Christian Church, but every church in St. Johnsville, every church in Little Falls, every church in Herkimer, every church in the Capital District. We're praying for revival. So, the text reads, and we're just going slow and we're just taking it apart bit by bit, and it reads, again, I want to go to the three translations that I gave you in the beginning, because it says in the English Standard Version, you, God, will arise and have pity on Zion. The James Moffat translation reads, thou will arise and have pity on Zion. But the King James reads, thou shall arise and have mercy upon Zion. Mercy and pity are synonymous in the text. So what does mercy mean? Well, it comes from the Hebrew verb ruhama, and it means to have compassion. It's compassion in action. It's deep sorrow in demonstration. So ruhama means having compassion, deep sorrow, kind sympathy, a desire to relieve someone from suffering, from their affliction, from their misfortune. This is what God is ready to provide his people. The psalmist prays, I know that not only will you arise, O Lord, but you will have mercy upon Zion. God will have compassion upon his people. He will demonstrate a deep sorrow over their plight. He will show kind sympathy towards their prayers. He will have the desire to relieve them of their spiritual sufferings, their spiritual affliction, and their spiritual misfortune. Yes, indeed, God will. But here's the thing. God's mercy is readily available to, one, those who fear and reverence God. Do we fear the Lord? Do we actually fear the Lord? Do we reverence him? Do we walk in holiness as he requires? To fear the Lord is to do what God tells us to do. To fear the Lord is to love him and obey his commandments. To fear God is to say, yes, Father, we will obey what Scripture mandates of us. And two, to receive God's mercy, we must, one, confess our sins, which we're quick to do, but here's the problem. Confess their sins, but they do not forsake them. A lot of people go to the confessional and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. They say that on Sunday morning, and then Sunday evening, they're back in bed with their sins. You see, God will only have mercy, not just on those who confess them, but those who confess them and turn their backs on their sin. We have to say goodbye to those sins that so easily beset us. We must say goodbye forever. You have to separate yourself forever of these sins that drive a wedge between holy God and sinning saint. So again, if we are to experience the mercy of God, then we must what? Fear him, reverence him, respect him, but also confess our sins and forsake them. I want to read 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It's a familiar text. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 14, it says, if my people, speaking of us, which are called by God's name, if we would humble ourselves, and if we would pray, and if we would seek his face, and if we would turn from our wicked ways. You see, turn again. There you go. He will have mercy on those who confess their sins, but must also forsake them. If we were to turn from our wicked ways, then God says, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. I will produce a revival. So God will have mercy upon those who do. You see, God will do when we do. God will show up. God will bless us. God will revive the church when we pray and turn away from our wicked ways. Now, who is this promise for? The psalmist says, God will have mercy upon Zion. Zion is every church. Zion is the church, both the church in the Old Testament and the church in the New Testament. When you consider the church in the Old Testament, it was made up of the tribe of Reuben, and then the tribe of Gad, and the tribe of Asher, and the tribe of Ephraim, the tribe of Manasseh, the tribe of Dan, the tribe of Judah. You go down. Listen, Israel had 12 tribes. All 12 tribes combined made up God's covenant people. And God's covenant people were called Zion, just much like today. We have Methodists who make up Zion. We have Baptists who make up Zion. We have Congregationalists who make up Zion. We have Presbyterians who make up Zion. We have Episcopalians who make up Zion. We have Pentecostals who make up Zion. We have independents, people who don't have a denominational affiliation. They make up Zion. You go down the list. All of those denominations make up Zion, because all of those denominations are equal to the tribes, the ancient tribes of Israel. So the promise is not just to us in St. Johnsville Grace Christian Church. That's not the promise is not singularly for us. No, it's for the entire church. As Sister Linda Hart made mention of last night, we're not just praying for our church. There are six other churches in St. Johnsville that we are praying for, because they too make up Zion. So again, the text reads, and it's a beautiful text, and we should take it to heart. It reads, Thou, O God, will arise. We know you will, Lord, and you will have mercy when we do the things required of us, which is to pray, to seek thy face, and to turn from our wicked ways. When we do that, we have the assurance that you will have mercy upon all your churches and will show up to revive all your churches, because all your churches are special. The same way he loved all seven churches in the book of Revelation, Jesus just did not love the church of Smyrna and did not love the church of Ephesus. No, he loved them all, and he spoke to all seven churches, and God would speak to all six churches in St. Johnsville and to every church across the land. So let us pray, saints. Let us pray like the psalmist did. Let us pray for God to arise, and let's pray for the church to repent, for the church to turn from her wicked ways. This way God may have pity upon all of Zion and bring about a revival like we've never seen before. I'll be back tomorrow, Thursday, about God's timing in revival. For the scripture reads, For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. That's tomorrow's lesson. So join me tomorrow. And again, if you are in need of the outlines, you know what you need to do. Just email me at gccpastor2021@gmail.com. And I will make sure you get these outlines so that you can follow along as we do our daily devotional. I want to conclude today's broadcast with a hymn we are all familiar with, and we never get tired of singing it, because it reminds us that great is God's faithfulness. Until we meet again tomorrow, dear saints, God bless you.
Great is thy